This is a special presentation by the Radio Players on WSIU.
Catacombs, the very word stirs dark thoughts of skeletons under churches entombed in wait for the promised day of redemption, Judgment Day, when all holy souls will be wafted to their just eternal reward. But what if one impatient ectoplasmic figure tires of waiting and slips from the vault to roam the corridors beneath old St. Patrick's Cathedral? Such spiritual scandal cannot, will not be tolerated. Who to turn to but The Exorcist? Let's meet the cast of Catacombing.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be the narrator.
I am Christopher Thundy, and I will be Tim Clancy.
I'm Steve Falcone, and I'll be Monsignor Tom Dooley.
I'm Eric Billingsley, and I'll be O'Bannon.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be Mrs. Flanagan.
Catacombing, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene one. We are in the bowels of old St. Patrick's Basilica, the oldest Catholic cathedral in New York City, an edifice with catacombs below. Who knew? So many entombed for more than a century, spots purchased in the age of Irish ascendancy, a community of bodies hermetically sealed within the walls, awaiting their final reward on Judgment Day when they aspire to be whisked away to a heavenly eternity. Until then, they abide, piled several corpses high within the depth of the old building, on layaway till the glorious day. Daily Mass is said above. All souls exist in one harmonious community, but for a spiritual loose cannon, an unearthed soul wandering about below, so the story goes. The radio players have been invited to observe Monsignor Dooley's exorcism of this lost soul. We have asked a crack reporter to cover the event. Journalist Tim Clancy has graciously accepted the assignment. Here he is now, meeting Monsignor Dooley. The good father speaks.
Highly irregular. Unique, in fact. I've not seen its like before, never.
Good day, Monsignor. I'm Tim Clancy, graciously given permission by the diocese to observe this most unusual event.
Reporter, is it? Well, hear me now. Heed me later. I'll have none of your antics in this sacramental matter. This sad occasion is not to be made a media circus, by God.
I approach with reverence for the situation, Monsignor, and have come merely to observe in humble silence.
See that you do. What was the name again?
Clancy, Monsignor. Timothy Clancy.
Well, you've name enough to understand this business. Stay behind me now and not a peep out of you.
Tim makes the zip-lip gesture.
Let us begin.
Swing censer, exuding smoke puffs and incense smells.
May thy mercy, Lord, descend upon us and...
A translucent figure in a waistcoat appears before the stunned cleric and young Clancy.
Would you ever shake your spiritual dust some other way, Father? Say all the holy words you care to. I'll not return to that vault with himself. Never.
Dashes off. Dooley blesses himself.
Damnedest thing I've ever seen.
Scene two. Monsignor Dooley was in a state. Never before had an apparition run from him. The usual scenario was a troubled soul inhabiting an innocent body. We've all seen the movie, heads spinning around, projectile pea soup vomiting. Some of us may have looked away. In any event, this candidate for purification was on the move, now to track him down.
I don't recall any mention of a chase after the elusive soul. The old shanks are scarce up to such a business.
What if I were to flush him out, steer him towards you, Monsignor?
Sure, that's a dandy plan, man. Glad I am to accept the kind invitation of assistance. Know that you walk with the Lord. Do watch your step.
Any specific tips on handling this entity?
There are literal libraries of prayers, but no actual tactics on the matter. Proceed with caution. Grasp your faith firmly. Stay out of arm's reach.
I assume we're dealing with an ectoplasmic substance capable of being seen, but not functionally active.
Dooley shrugs.
Beats the socks off of me, boyo. We truly know so little of these specters. Not to do but pray them away.
Does that work?
Not often. But this could be the day. Track that confused Catholic down. We shall return a lost sheep to his dead flock.
Huh. Scene three. Clancy holds the phone light before him as he walks the dark halls.
I got a big mouth. Proved it yet again. Cannot seem to keep my tongue inside my teeth. Here I am in the soup again. Not a physical jumbo this time. Where amidst these dark corridors has our skittish specter oozed to? A source? Home vault? I wouldn't think so, but it's worth a shot in the dark. And what was that number again?
Sound of feet in motion.
Let's see. Third aisle, 13th, 14th vault. Ah, here.
Ear to vault.
Not a peep. Silent as... Where from here?
Spies the ghost in motion.
Hey, you there, halt! Gone. Don't know what made me think that would work.
Feet in motion, puffing.
Should have trained for this assignment.
Knocks on the vault.
Am I really knocking on a coffin door? Who would believe this? What I need is Ghostbusters.
Dooley rounds the corner, shaking his sensor.
You ever worry about secondhand smoke from that contraption, Monsignor?
The Lord will provide.
Got that covered. Looks like I've lost the trail. Any ideas?
Tom, call me Tom.
Tom Dooley?
I know. Believe me, I took my fair share of ribbon at school, even at the seminary. Always kept me head up, though.
Good one, Tom.
Alas, I digress. There's one tip I've got for you, my son. Smell.
Spectres stink. You smell, to be grammatically precise.
Sulfur, the strong stench, fills the spectre's space. Your nostrils can't miss it.
The intercom buzzes to the lilt of cook housekeeper Mrs. Flanagan.
Monsignor, are you there?
I'm here, woman, right where I'm meant to be.
And where would that be at all, Monsignor?
Down below, dealing with the dearly departed.
Mrs. Flanagan blesses herself.
God bless us and keep us safe. Now, will you be wanting your supper at the usual hour?
Oh, indeed I will. Dealing with that runaway dead gives a man appetite.
Mrs. Flanagan blesses herself twice.
Lord of mercy, do keep swinging that censer. I'll be here at my beads all the while.
Aren't you always, dear?
True enough. But I'll put extra oomph in me devotions today.
Ah, that's grand now. And would you set another place at the table? A gent is here helping me with this business.
Indeed, I will. I'll even add him to the bead entreaties. Supper at 6. Do not be late. Cold food lacks nourishment. God bless.
The line goes silent.
Wonderful woman. Will not let me use her given name. Finds it most unfitting for a man of the cloth to address her so familiarly.
That is old school.
Is it not? Well, I'd better let you get back to the task at hand.
Which is?
Dooley touches his nose.
Follow the stench, confront the wraith, drive him back to me. I'll censor and say prayers of exorcism over him, and poof, he's back in the vault.
Yeah, sounds good on paper.
It'll work. It must. The Lord doesn't want a lost soul traipsing around the catacombs.
Give the place a bad name. Not to mention stinking up the joint. Ooh, too many flashbacks to chemistry class.
The Lord be with ye.
And with your spirit.
Scene 4. Clancy moves among the vaults.
Such clean halls and tidy vaults. Not my idea of catacombs. Not as dank as I expected, though there are some awfully dark spots. Like now.
Shines his phone light.
Well, lucky there's little here to trip me up. Empty. Except for a smell. Ah, smell of sulfur.
He spots the specter.
Hey, O'Bandon, halt! Stop!
The specter floats around the corner.
You'd be well advised to hear me out. You're running, or floating, however you move, in circles to a sad end. It's exorcism for you, one way or another. Let me try to help you. I'm a pretty fair hand at this problem solving, I'm told.
By who?
Whom?
That's what I said.
The point is, I can help you.
O'Bannon sighs a sulfur breath.
You can't help me. No one can, living or dead, not a chance.
That's a pretty defeatist attitude, for starters.
Yeah, well, you'd be defeated, too, if you had my father.
Ah, that age-old rift between father and son.
You can't help me. No one can. This rift rides into eternity.
Clancy shrugs.
If you say so.
He starts away.
Okay. Your father served under the Earl of Wickenbain as the stable master. A momentous responsibility. You must admit, the old codger was superior at his post. He secured me a position as a footman. I hated the livery, but wore it. The day it was determined to powder me hair was the day I left me employment, to the apoplectic anger of father. A fierce row ensued, the upshot of which was my being disowned. At the ripe age of 18, I was meant to be employed, married, with a child in the crib or on the way. Mother could not dissuade him. I was without fare or lodging, though mother had stuck me a basket of victuals, bless her. Not a very daring lad, I slept midst the hay bales door behind the barn. I believe old Willis spied me, but kind old-hearted by nature, he said not. My spot in the hay came to light, quite literally, one fateful day when some dolt emptied the remains of his pipe on the barn floor and walked away. By the time he glanced back, the building was ablaze. The rogue fled, of course, but father and I bumped as we dashed into the melting heat and screaming mares, the stench of burning horse flesh now constant in my nostrils.
Neither of you made it out.
Not alive, alas. Death, in no way, diminished father's fury with my poor progress in life. His ire increased, if anything.
Enough was enough, I surmise.
I am well versed on the good book's fifth commandment to say, honor thy mother and father. Where does the Bible speak of a father tempering his endless wrath towards his son? Surely that is not a proper parental behavior.
Has there been heavenly intervention?
We are not permitted to speak of such matters. An angel placed us here and said we were to be notified judgment day. God knows when that will be. I cannot abide my father berating me till who knows when. Better I roam the halls awaiting for the last dawn of my fate.
He starts off.
I just might have an alternative plan. Interested?
Scene 5. The translucent form pauses in a moment of pondering, the reek of sulfur billowing about the spot.
As a general principle, I try to avoid advice from living people. But as I am desperate, speak.
Well, have I got a vault for you? Large, luxurious, best of all, empty.
Truly?
Clancy crosses his heart.
On my mother's grave, which isn't here. She could never, ever... I digress.
You do.
There remains one crypt for sale and unoccupied. Ideal spot for one seeking solitude.
Perhaps my family could purchase the plot. We still have means. Have you a notion of the purchase price?
Bear in mind, today's dollar is inflated far beyond...
O'Bannon holds up his hand.
We are not peasants, good sir. Simply state the price and I shall...
$7 million.
Sorry, I thought I heard...
$7 million American.
Good God! I'd have a heart attack if I weren't already dead. Surely you jest.
That's the going price of the last crypt in these catacombs.
Our entire village didn't cost that amount.
Prices rise with the times.
How do folks survive?
As best they can, as they must.
Thank God I'm dead. I could never afford to live at such prices.
Here's your new abode. I trust the accommodations will suit.
Ooh, so spacious. I shall be bouncing around in all that expense. Well, that seems a nasty cough. I pray you've not caught the croup.
Well, there's a lingering scent in the air that seems to affect me nasally.
I smell nothing. Being deceased, I suppose I wouldn't. What is the essence?
Sulfur.
If I can't smell it, and you can, well, I must smell.
You stink. I smell.
Oh, well, good day to you, sir. I shall have nothing more to say to you but good day.
Starts into the crypt.
I shall see you aloft on Judgment Day, if you prove worthy.
Dematerializes into the crypt. The intercom sounds, and the voice of Mrs. Flanagan is heard.
Hello below.
How I do love saying that. Mr. Clancy, are you there at all?
I am, ma'am.
Monsignor's asked me to inquire how you might be getting on with the late Mr. O'Bannon.
Is the Monsignor there?
He is indeed, but indisposed at the moment.
The sound of chewing.
Tell him the matter is well in hand. I've convinced O'Bannon to walk away from conflict with his father and take up residence in the empty crypt.
Sorry, am I to have abandoned me sacramental duties? A matter for me next confession. My only defense is Mrs. Flanagan's roast beef night. You must get it off the bone, drenched in her deliriously delicious mushroom gravy. Mm-hmm. Over them glorious mashed spuds. Divine. An occasion of sin for yours truly. But I digress. What is all this about the crypt?
O'Bannon now dwells there.
That cannot be. That vault is to remain empty till some caring person has a loved one entombed there.
At the going rate.
Well, it goes without saying.
Listen, either O'Bannon lies there or stalks these darkened halls till you exorcise him. Your call, Tom.
Tis the burden of the office. Major decisions, left, right, and center.
Will you be having peach or apple cobbler this evening, Monsignor?
Tom Dooley is hanging down his head. Leave O'Bannon be. Come stuff your gob with Mrs. Flanagan's heavenly manna when it's still warm. We'll say a second grace before meals.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Catacombing, an original play written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This production was recorded live in the studios of WSIU Radio. Post-production sound designed by Anise Coopwood. Listener support is what makes the local arts possible on WSIU. We are powered by you.